Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Dude, man, what's going on?
Oh, my finger hurts.
John and I each took, well, he took his wedding band off, and I took my former wedding band, which is now just decorative jewelry, off, and mine's bigger than yours. It's fatter. It's bigger in diameter.
About the same weight, though.
You think? Gold is a little denser.
This is 18 karat, so it's a little denser, yeah.
I don't know. Let me see what the weight is.
I went for the 18 karat.
Yeah, this is pretty dense because it's gold, and mine's just titanium and platinum. Mine's just platinum.
Yours is platinum? Gold-plated platinum?
It is. It's a bar of gold-pressed platinum. And, yeah, here you can. Yours is probably a little heavier, but, you know, I think gold is gaudy, so I don't do the gold.
Well, I think Polish people need to be euthanized, so. No, you know what?
What does that mean?
That's not right. That's not right of me. I shouldn't say that. Just you.
That's a good
just
point.
Just one in particular.
That's right. It's just me.
Yeah, so, I have, actually, you know what? I agree. People with lots of gold jewelry, they end up looking like, you know, furniture merchants.
You look like Mr. T. What are you talking about? You got a mohawk.
Every single one of these chains.
You got about, you know, 40 pounds of gold around your neck.
You know, it takes me about 45 to 50 hours to get through an airport.
Totally, man.
I have to go the day before. No, I'm with you on the gold jewelry thing, except for I think that some things are classic, like a very simple, clean, no frills band.
Well, you would agree that this is simple and clean.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I did tell you that I like that very much.
Yeah. What about my watch? Is it too much?
It's perfect. It's actually perfect.
It's because gigantic.
I'm going boating the other day.
I need an anchor. That's right. I have this watch that's pretty large. Oh, God. Okay, here's a story I'm going to tell you, right?
Take my watch, please.
Something like that. I was in my favorite restaurant after the films a couple of Fridays ago when we go out after the Munson films. And I run into this guy. I don't even know who the hell he is, but he calls me the doctor.
Maybe it's the doctor of love.
So every time, he's a guy in his late 50s, I would say, you know, with his wife, and he'll be out at a variety of the haunts that we frequent after the films, of which there are two. You know, there's either Ancora or Gabriel's Trattoria. Trattoria? How do you pronounce that?
Trattoria.
What does it mean in Italian anyway?
Hole in the wall.
Okay, yeah. Very apt. And anyway, so this guy always sees me. I don't have a freaking clue who this guy is. He just thinks he knows me. And he's very nice. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's, you know, but I'll come in and he'll go, "Hey, it's the doctor." And I'll be like, his name's John, you know. So I'll go, "Hey, John, how you doing?" Yeah, and his wife will talk to me. So a couple of Fridays ago, he was seated across from another couple. There were two men and two women, two couples. And I didn't know the other couple, so we were introduced. But anyway, John's wife goes, "Man, that's a big watch. Holy cow." And I went, "Yeah, it's pretty big. Here, check it out, you know." So I took it off. I, you know,
showed it to her. You have to pay for damages, right?
I gave it to her. I said, "Hey, feel the weight," because it, again, in addition to being the biggest watch that I've ever seen, it's the heaviest watch I've ever had on my wrist. Here, I'm going to click it. Wait. There, I just put it back on my wrist. And so I chatted with John and his wife, whose name I don't remember, or the other couple whose name I don't remember. But they were all, you know, again, like in their late 50s. So I went into the bar to chill with my friends, Chris. And I don't think Donna was there that night.
To chillax.
Chillaxing, that's right. And after about 20 minutes, John and his friends got done with dinner. And they came into the bar to have a nightcap, which they really didn't need since they were freaking cocked.
They're
off
already
their,
capped
oh
for the night.
My God. So get this, right? First, the men come in, and John and his friend. And I said, "Hey, John, where are the ladies?" And they're like, "Oh, they're out there jabber-jawing with their lady friends." And I said, you know, "Yeah, women can't live with them, can't cut them up into little pieces." And none of the men, all the men laughed, but none of the women laughed. I don't, you know, my friend, female friends didn't laugh at that. I don't know why. And then so the men went out to find the women to bring them into the bar. And then a minute later, the women came in without the men. apparently they were jabber-jawing with the male guys that they knew at that point. And anyway, so get this. Each of these women sits on either side of me, and they're both just cocked off their ass. They're so drunk. And one of the women, not John's wife, but the other one, says, "Oh, you're the guy with the big watch." Yes. Yes.
It's not the size of the watch. It's how you tell time.
It's right. It's the angle of the sun.
That's right.
And then, you know, more conversation ensued. Now she's got her hand on my shoulder blade. I'm not making any of this up. None of this is an exaggeration. She's got her hand on my shoulder blade. I'm wearing my sandals. So she looks down and says, "My, you have big feet."
"The better to kick you with, my dear."
That's right. And then the other girl goes, "Let me see your hands. Are they big too?" Yeah, this is all happening. And mind you, now I'm looking at all my lady friends.
Something that would happen like riding home in a bus, like from a high
school
trip.
After a rock and roll concert at, you know, Def Leppard or something, you know. So now I'm just looking at my friend, Chris, and going, "Help me," you know, with my eyes. And these women are just rubbing my shoulders. And now their husbands walk into the bar and see their wives behaving like drunken tramps.
Who was...
Yeah, to use the line on The Sopranos or whatever.
Well, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Hooers. And, I mean, they really were. They were all over me. And their husbands are very alarmed at their wives' behaviors. And I was just like, "Look, I was here first. I was just sitting here." You know, they sat on either side of me. And, yeah. Okay, so anyway, the evening is over and they leave. And they shouldn't be driving. But then they tell me, "Listen, we're going to Cavallo's," which is another haunt, only a short 1 minute walk away. "We're going to Cavallo's for a nightcap." Oh, great.
Another one.
Yeah, the 10th one. "Why don't you come over and we'll buy you a drink?" And I wasn't comfortable driving, so out of curiosity, after a little while, I went to Cavallo's to see if they were there, and I couldn't find them, thankfully. But I'm wearing a red turtleneck, and again, drunken women. I don't know if it was pheromones or something in the water that night, but there's like this young girl in her 20s.
Bourbon.
This little JD. So this young girl in her 20s walks by me, drunk again, you know, slurring. And she goes...
"As the skunk."
Yeah. And she goes, red turtleneck. Keep that in mind. And she goes, "Man, you look hot in that orange turtleneck."
Orange. Not only has it altered her perception, but her vision has been blurred.
But, you know, now here's the thing. I got like 55-year-old women hitting on me and 22-year-old hitting on me. In an ideal world, I want it to be kind of exactly in the middle there. You know, average 22 and 55, and what do you get?
400.
57.
I'm not good with math.
Yeah, I don't know. 55 and 22, that makes...
77.
77 divided by 2. 39. Yeah, see, that would be good for me. Yeah, right in there. Yeah, I was never good with math either.
Well, you know what? You know what you need?
I don't know. What do I need?
You need a cloaking device.
No, I don't want a cloaking device. But what I need is someone in my age group to start rubbing my shoulder blade and commenting on my feet.
Well, you're not going to find meaningful relationships with drunk people.
How do you know?
I'd play those odds any day.
Well, you never know, though. I mean, you know, they eventually will sober up, and they might be nice
people. When
they
wake
up
in your place and you clean up the vomit.
That's right.
They'll say, "Oh, you were so nice." And, you know, maybe they'll realize what a good person you are after, you know, mopping the floor 17 times and Cloroxing the place.
Yeah, I don't know. But there you go. That's what was going on in my life a couple Fridays ago. Yeah, very surreal. And I went out last night and they weren't there, thankfully.
You know what happened to me?
What?
I saw a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, the one you were supposed to see with me, but then blew me off.
I asked you to go twice. I wasn't going to ask
you. I was
you
a little depressed that day and didn't feel like going out.
I asked you
out
two separate times.
No.
And I'm not going to ask you a third time.
Maybe in the same day, but that counts as once.
Deny me once, shame on me.
Yeah,
deny me once or twice.
Something.
Shame on me again.
We're not going to talk about Iron Man, are we?
And I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to say I went to go see a blockbuster film, the summer
which
blockbuster.
Which is relevant to...
And it's relevant to
what's
our later discussion.
Later. Yeah. And John didn't take me. And one of the reasons I didn't go, what John offered to pay, I think it's, you know, it's on me. My treat, I think he said.
I wasn't going to pay. I was just going to say the film was going to be projected on me.
Oh, okay. But at the end of the day, John's like, "Let's meet in Oneida." And I'm like, "Well, let's see. This free film is going to cost me $10 in gas."
Well, that's true. But it is halfway for us.
It's not really. It's weighted a little bit towards your side. It's not really halfway. And well, you work in Rome. Why didn't we just go to Utica? Get out of work. Go to the movie.
Because then that would have cost me extra money on top of paying for the
really.
Film.
Not really. It's not that long of a trip. Anyway. Hose bag.
I'm giving him the stink eye.
You got to get some antibiotics for that or something, dude.
How could someone's eyes stink?
I don't know.
Did you catch that from the, in the Juno film that we talked about?
Yes.
Giving me the stink eye.
Yeah, she was talking to that guy, and the girl over there was giving her the stink eye.
And he said, no, that's how she always looks.
That's right.
I've got nothing else.
We going to bust into a tune?
Let's bust it out.
Let's check it out.
my toe is a tapping.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was... Who was that?
Kwai Gibo.
You know, if they sound at all like a band called Beeble Brox, which we've played in the past, it's because the guitar player, they share a common guitar player.
They're sharing six strings?
There's a collision with the guitar player.
It's funny. Funny. They use their infinite improbability drive, and they share the guitar player in time and space.
That's right. And that was called Siberian Katru Blues.
Yeah, it was.
Or Katru, as some people would say.
Yeah. People could say anything.
What was that noise?
Ghosts.
Oh.
The place is haunted.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll wake up, and there's like a bloody skull floating above my bed.
Horse head in your bed with you.
No, that's only when I'm doing business deals.
That's right. Oh, so you had an idea.
Oh, yeah.
Or I had an idea, and you came up with an idea.
Yeah, we were saying, let's do a meme of sorts.
We haven't done a top five in forever, so.
Yeah, so we both coincidentally came up with like a film-based kind of idea, and I saw this blockbuster film, as I mentioned, you know, the Ozzy Osbourne Iron Man deal.
Iron Man.
Yes. So I figured, you know, what is it about blockbusters? So I put together a theme of that had to do with blockbusters, like Iron Man. And this is kind of a top five, but it's basically just five questions.
So just it's random questions.
Yep. Question number one.
You get to go first because you might inspire me to think of things that I didn't think of since I put about 45 seconds into this. And it's only
dedication.
Because John didn't get back to me in an email. It wasn't clear to me which meme we were going to fly
with. You've got
this
pattern of blaming me for your foibles.
No, because I came up with my own question, which we will do on a future show. And I
thought you would have had answers for those.
No, I was going to spend time thinking of those because those actually require thought. But if I didn't need to do them,
so
I wasn't going to think. Not as much.
My ideas don't require
thought. Not as much.
Thought.
I'm sorry. You admitted it yourself that my thing required a lot of thought.
No, time.
Time, yeah, time. And thought. Space equals time.
Anyways, here are the questions.
We're going to invent warp drive tonight, I'm sure of it.
I'm doing it. Here are the questions. Question number one.
Yes.
What is your favorite blockbuster experience, summer blockbuster experience?
You answer first.
And I'm going to go for this one. And it's a tie. I've got two.
Okay.
I'm already breaking my own rules. First is Star Wars. It's the obvious.
Right.
But at the, was it the Paris? The Paris Theater, the one that's no longer there anymore. It got torn
Paris
down.
Paris Cinema.
Paris Cinema. I remember seeing it there. It was a moving experience. The next one is Jurassic Park, believe it or not.
Hmm. Interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
And the reason
I thought
why...
that came out in the fall.
It may have, but to me it was a blockbuster.
Summer.
Yeah,
summer. A blockbuster, so it all... It's all...
There wasn't snow, so it must have been summer in Central New York. But the reason why I'm saying to me it was a good experience is because it's the first time I was blown away for... Or at least
it's funny you should choose that word.
on screen. And I'm looking at these... I mean, when you saw those dinosaurs for the first time on screen, it was pretty amazing.
That was the film... CGI had been done to mm-hmm. certain extents in certain films, but that was the first film that had just tens of minutes of CGI.
Yeah, it just blew you away.
And CGI was interacting with humans. You know, prior to that, it had been an effect here and there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and prior to that, it was like...
Tron.
Matte paintings. You know, I mean, that's what we had. We didn't have CGI. We had matte paintings.
And it wasn't realistic. I mean,
we had P.S. Ellenshaw doing matte. Well, some of it was pretty damn good.
It wasn't trying to be a character that fit in with the environment and the lighting and
certainly
all that other
not.
Stuff.
No, you can't make suddenly animated painting because then it's an animation.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, I pick Star Wars 2 and see number one. It says Star Wars Magic.
I'm thinking
Magic.
Star Wars 1, not 2.
Yeah, no, because I saw that, which is the answer to one of the later questions in here, too. I saw that at a film, at a movie theater in New Hartford called The Callet. And there was an outdoor and an indoor theater next to each other, and they were kind of over across from Sangertown, kind of down from Hannaford, down towards somewhere between Sonny's Bike Shop and Hannaford, you know, over there by Sangertown.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Callet was, and I saw Star Wars there that summer of 77, I believe, and blown away. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, it was a pretty remarkable experience. In many ways, I didn't enjoy it. I mean, I was, of course, taken in by the cinematographic Cinematography.
No, Cinema, I was, cinema ten fantagraphoria.
I was taken in by, you know, the classic, you know,
the whining of Luke.
I want to go to Tossie Station and pick up some power converters.
Uncle
you
Owen.
Can waste time with your friends later. No,
Uncle
I mean,
Owen.
The film for an 11-year-old or however old I was just
40.
Magical, you know? And so it was great seeing it in a theater back mm-hmm. in the days of the big, giant theaters,
right.
You know, where like 600 people or whatever were in the same theater with you. It was kind of cool seeing it there, but at the same time, you know, whenever like a comedic thing happened, they laugh and then you miss the next line because the laughing is going on and you miss the dialogue. But yeah, yeah. Star Wars, we both picked Star Wars. Jurassic Park, I remember seeing that, and I believe I saw it at Riverside Mall.
Yeah.
Maybe in their theaters? Or, yeah, I don't quite remember, but I do remember running into one of the little mutant chess geeks from my chess club, one of the sort of young prodigies there, who I ran into at a Christmas party recently. And guess what? He's all grown up now.
He's all grown
He's
up.
He's married and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. He sang at the Christmas party with his wife. It was cool.
Didn't he? Cool.
Totally. Yeah. He sang Wassail, one of my favorite Christmas carols ever, an old medieval Christmas carol. It was awesome. Number two.
Question number two. This is like the opposite of question number one.
That's right.
What's your most disappointing blockbuster experience?
You get to go first.
And my answer is Star Wars Episode One.
Okay.
I remember I was working...
You're gay, dude.
What?
No, go ahead.
What does that have to do with anything? So I'm working in Bethesda, Maryland at the time, and some... colleagues and I, we decided to take a break, lunch break.
You weren't in Bethesda when Star Wars came out?
Episode one.
Oh, episode one, not episode four. Okay.
No, episode one.
John's doing a little twist on it there.
Yeah.
He's actually doing the real chronology.
Episode one was the piece of crap that Lucas put together that's like the prequel to, you know, with the little Anakin twerp.
Yes.
So we decided to take a break from our work. We were working on some website stuff. And we say, hey, let's all get together as a group and let's go see this. It's a great movie. Great. You know, we're all dying to see it. We're all Star Wars fans.
A bunch of dorks.
We're
all
dorks,
together.
Total dorks. We got Lego Star Wars stuff on our desk.
Oh, my God. Everywhere. You got a room dedicated to your Lego Star Wars stuff. Who's kidding who?
Nobody goes in the room. So we all go down to see this fiasco.
Which you didn't know at the time.
Yeah. And Betsy even came down. She drove into town to meet us and to watch it.
That's John's wife, by the way.
Yeah. It was awful. It was awful.
Drek.
I mean, it was a typical Lucas film, but it was really disappointing. I mean, you have to put it in context. We've been waiting for like 20 friggin' years or something.
Yeah.
For the next Star Wars.
Totally.
And I think that we've all elevated the actual Star Wars films in our brains because they were such a moving experience at the time that we see them better than they actually are. And then when we see the crap come back on film, I was just saddened.
Okay, my most disappointing summer blockbuster, and I don't actually remember if it was actually a summer blockbuster or even in the summer. It certainly wasn't a blockbuster. The Fly 2.
Oh. That's just a disappointing film.
That was just the maybe one of like two or three times I've ever gone into a
Eric
movie.
Eric Stoltz?
Yes, I've ever gone into a movie and really just wanted my money back when I got out. I mean, I felt so violated by this film. It was awful. I mean, it was just dreck. I mean, there were moments where something terrible befell the bad guy. And, you know, since we hated him, you were supposed to be happy that this thing happened to him. But I felt nothing. I mean, everything about this film was just awful.
So Rich goes to the counter and says, good sir, I demand my coinage back.
I did, with the British accent and everything.
He was wearing mutton chops.
And a big, big hunk of mutton. He was eating it, too. That's the other funny thing. I didn't quite know what's going on there, but... You could actually get
I
just
implore
like,
thee for my coinage.
That's right. I was using the old thee, thine, thou. You didn't know. There's a giant fire going with a spit, and there's just mutton rotating on it at the theaters I used to go to.
I find this film to be a travesty.
Good sir.
I'm offended.
Good sir, may I talk to your squire about getting my money back?
I had to avert the eyes of milady.
That's right. All right, number three.
What's your favorite film-watching snack, past, present, and future?
Okay, I'll answer this one first. Past, like when I used to go to the movies.
Goobers.
Sweet tarts or snow caps.
two of my least favorite foods
Interesting.
Ever.
You know, and I could go back
Weirdest
to
candy ever.
I could go back to my answer number one and offend our audience, by the way, like the most moving experience I ever had at a summer blockbuster.
We'll mentioned save that for a later show.
I mentioned it briefly to John, but it was little Harrison Ford film with the big ball and the hat and the whip. And it sounds like John's sex life, actually.
Hey.
Indiana Jones. Well, there was an empty theater, and I was there with a girl, and I'll leave the rest up to your imagination. Okay, so Sweet Tarts, Snow Caps. Those are, and now it would just be popcorn. And I don't actually go to movies that much anymore in any sort of normal theaters, but now that I have the flat screen, I have movie night at my house every once in a while, like once a month, and I make the organic popcorn with a little olive oil, a little sea salt. Oh, it's so good. So perky, like when the mutton is so lean.
and I, having worked at movie theaters as a young buck,
which I never did,
will never ingest movie popcorn because I know how they make the
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I know what's in the bottom of that popcorn bin.
It's crankcase grease, actually.
Not only that, but, you know, there's some vermin. You don't want to be eating.
There's varmints in there, varmints in that grub.
Chitlins even.
So, what is your favorite past or present movie time snack?
There's only one. There can be only one.
What is it?
The Twizzlers.
I was never a fan of the Twizzlers.
Strawberry Twizzlers, and for me, strawberry Twizzlers. You take one bite of the first strawberry Twizzler out of the bag, and it's almost like my mind thinks movie theater. It's like every time I have Twizzlers, I think I'm in a theater. I walk around and I look for my seat.
I'm going to tell you why I never liked the Twizzlers. I never liked the gummy kinds of candies, licorice.
Those are my favorite.
Taffy, gummy bears. I just never liked that stuff. I never liked gum either. No, chilled monkey brains. Yeah, I like that. That's another homage to that film. Where,
that was actually the second film.
Where I was in the movie theater with my high school girlfriend and there was nobody there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to vomit in my mouth here. Just let's leave it at that. Anyways, moving on to the next question. Four.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite place to see a summer blockbuster?
Hmm. You can answer
past,
that.
Past, present,
We're
future.
Going back to you answering first.
For sentimental reasons, the Paris Theater. Because of the whole Star Wars experience. And because I've seen other films there, too. Like, I even saw Jaws there. Yep, but it's gone. It's gone, but...
Paris Cinema.
Paris Cinema.
Paris Theater.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, actually, the last time I was there with you, and we saw the new director's cut of that film you liked, that one that was on your top five.
Taxi Driver?
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner. So, but the real answer that I've got now for a theater that exists, it's actually called the Uptown Theater in Washington, D.C., It's got this CinemaScope screen. It's actually curved, but it's huge.
Huge!
And I saw...
Freaking huge!
When Lucas re-released Episode 4,
A New Hope,
Star Wars.
The actual, the thing that started it all.
Yeah. He re-released that. It showed there, and that was an amazing experience. That was actually really good, as opposed to Episode 1, which was vomit.
Vomitatious.
It was horrible.
Now, I have two theaters here because, for sentimental reasons, I picked the Uptown Theater in Utica because it was kind of walking distance to my home when I was a child. And what?
Uptown Theater? Isn't that where you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah, with my high school girlfriend. Got a little nookie that day in the movie theater.
You had to go there, didn't you?
Very vague terms, though. And the Uptown, now they've turned it into one of these sort of like cineplexes. Now they've chopped it in half, and then they took one of the halves and halved that. So it's actually three theaters.
I haven't been in there since they've done that.
Yeah, you used to know the owner, right?
Yep.
Mike something or other?
Yeah, he sold it, but that's where I used to work when I was in high school.
Yep. So the Uptown, when it was, it's one theater... In its heyday, and I mean, for example, that's where I saw many films, not Star Wars, but I saw Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory when I was a child in 1972. That may have been one of the first films I ever saw at that movie house. And it was awesome because it had the box office on the outside where you went up and there was a lady in there with a uniform and you paid her, like, you know, in an old theater. And I was always very large.
Rich, that wasn't the box office.
What was that?
The old lady out front that you paid her. It wasn't the box office.
No, it was, because she was actually in the box office.
You sure?
I am. No, the homeless lady, I just kicked her. But it was this miserable old biddy. I mean, talk about a shrill harpy. And because I was always a big kid for my size, she always wanted to charge me adult prices. Like, I'm 8 years old. No, you're an adult, right? No, I'm eight.
Give me your blood.
Yeah, right. We need a DNA test. And the other theater that I liked was where I actually saw Star Wars, and that was the Callet, the indoor Callet, which was in New Hartford, and it's now gone. Now, I may have a new favorite summer blockbuster viewing theater, because I've challenged all of my friends to get together with me this summer, because we actually have a drive-in within driving distance in Rome, New York, which is about 15 miles from where I live. And we're going to actually, my friend Donna has a convertible, so we're going to go these days, and we're going to drop the top, and we're going to like watch some movies at the drive-in, which I haven't done in 30 years or something.
You have to watch Grease there. You have to sneak people in the trunk, too.
The last film I saw at the drive-in, I think, was that little Disney thing called The Aristocats. Do you remember that? And it was like in the early 70s at some drive-in that I don't remember where we saw it.
I'm thinking. I went to a drive-in with my dad once, and it was, let's see, it was a double feature, and it was The Aristocats.
Really? Yeah. Wow, that's great.
They must have kept it in stock just to play all the time. But the feature film was, what's the name of that film? I think Roy Scheider was in it, and it was on the aircraft carrier, and they went back in time.
The Final Countdown.
Was that what it...
I don't think Roy Scheider was in it, though. It was...
I'm pretty sure Roy Scheider was in it.
No. The Final Countdown had...
And they went to World War II.
Kirk Douglas,
that's who it was. Yeah. I was thinking of some old guy with a craggly voice.
Yeah, the Nimitz went back in time and had to defend Pearl Harbor, but then it got sucked back forward before it was able to attack the Japanese fleet.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But it was a good time, you know, it's a drive-in.
It was either the Final Countdown or the Final Conflict. It was one of the two, Kirk Douglas. Yeah. And some people that... I don't remember their names, but some actors you see playing bit parts now every once in a while, but that would have been the late 70s.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I saw that actually at the Uptown Theater. Yeah, that's where I saw that.
Last question of the day.
This is a complex question.
This is very complex. If you owned a movie theater, if you, and this isn't really a blockbuster thing, but it's more about the experience. If you owned a movie theater and you had free reign to do anything you wanted with it, whether it be format, decorations, whatever, what would you do? How would you run your theater?
Okay. You first.
All right. I got an answer.
I just had to clear my throat.
But you first. All right. Here's the thing. I would have it not just be like everyone buys their tickets, goes, sits, and then you go to the concession stand. I would have like dinner theater, limited seating, where you have dinner tables there. You serve dinner like a restaurant, and you have the film going, but the film and the dinner are in a theme. Like if you're showing The Godfather, you got to have spaghetti and meatballs, and
dead horse meat.
And you have garlic bread and everything. And then when Brando is like dying in the garden, he's got the orange rind. They serve orange slices at that time. So like during it, you get the orange smell and everything. Instead of smell-o-vision, you actually experience the food with the film.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that what you got?
That's it.
All right. See, that's a great idea. I would steal that. I would do that too.
End of story. Period.
But, you know, I don't know. For me, it would have to be a huge screen, right? I mean, I totally want the clamshell screen. What's that kind
IMAX.
Of? IMAX kind of experience where when you sit close enough and the screen encompasses all of your periphery, you're really, you know, since your peripheral vision is involved in it, when they do things, you really feel like there's movement, you know? I really want to be immersed in it. So I want a super wide, the CinemaScope curved screen. It doesn't have to be the clamshell IMAX screen, but just a really gigantic screen. And of course,
vomit buckets or troughs.
The audio would have to be really awesome, and it would have to have really comfortable seats. The dinner theater thing is great, but my theater would just be like the guy theater, you know, just seats with speakers in them and reclining and comfortable seats and
strippers.
Hookers, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, I would want the best audio and video quality, you know, screw this whole THX stuff. I mean, we're going to go way beyond the THX cinema experience, you know, into what I'm going to invent it. I don't even know. I'm going to just start approaching manufacturers, and we're just gonna do better, you know. 70 millimeter film, no, it's like 900 millimeter film, you know.
1 foot equals 100 feet.
There isn't a light bulb big enough to project this image yet. They haven't invented it.
Well, the reason I came up with this idea is because I really think that, you know, going to the theater should be an event. It used to be an event. You know, you couldn't get the stuff and just throw it in your box, and you've got this flat screen 500-inch thing in your house that's got a better resolution than most theaters in like those little shoe boxes in the mall. I really think that the theater should be an event, and I think that it shouldn't be like a mass event where you pack in as many people as possible. It should be, you know, you go in there and I'm paying like $9.50 I paid for Iron Man for one ticket. Why can't it be where you pay like maybe $20 for a plate, but you get dinner and everything with it? Yeah.
Well, I wrote a review of a concert that I had gone to on our blog. I wrote this, I don't know, a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, and it was about a New Orleans jazz band, the New Orleans Jazz Orchestra or something. I actually don't remember their name. But one of the things I talked about in the review was the fact that when you go to the Stanley Theater, which is this lovely, right, classic 1920s, you know, plaster.
Gilded
gold, you know, gold leafed, you know, the whole nine yards, which they completely redesigned and they completely upgraded the stage of the theater. They put the world's biggest light fixture in it recently, all kinds of cool stuff. But anyway, when you go to that place to see a show, you feel like you've gone somewhere,
right,
because it's this amazingly elegant place. And, you know, and during intermission, you can go get wine and you can just chat with the people in the lobby. Oh, lobby, you know, and you can pretend you're, you know, pretentious.
Take out your cigarette and put it on the little holder.
And yeah, do the whole thing. So, yeah, I think going to a theater should feel like you an event of some kind. But anyway.
Yeah, because you can pick up films at Blockbuster or Netflix or whatever. It's more about the, you know, hanging out with people, enjoying it, and communing. So the film is just the I don't know, the sideshow. So, right, anyways.
We got a tune.
We've got a tune.
Let's check it out. I was driving through the night into an endless tunnel of fog. When it dawned upon me something was wrong. Yeah, I was in a trance, hypnotized, far beyond belief. I was listening to the same old song. I know every lick, every word, every nuance. I'm on first name terms with the crew. But I better get used to this poopy show. Sure as hell they won't play anything new. Oh yes, I love you, really. Classic rock radio. Oh my dear, it's time for bed. Time for you to go, everyone's asleep. The pirates took the water, stole the charts. Sadly that didn't go down well. Those upstairs are quite lonely. The establishment considered that the uncontrolled appreciation of music was a danger to royalty. Well, the mighty Empire Rod is cashing Everett on the high seas. Looked like they'd get blown out all the wartime. Well, they did, of course, eventually come ashore. Megan's minds ought to be more accurate as lambs to the slaughter. Oh, yes, I love you, really, I stand to attention. Something I should mention, the sweet thing. Let's not talk about MTV. I don't even want to start. I want to take a look at classic rock radio. We're talking about the state of the art.
version, huh? Everyone out there think I'm a liar. Yeah, you can speak about bananas for 1 second just because I understand you have to get them on your chest. But in the meantime, while you're talking, could you do some more of these here ideas? This station might maintain some interest. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I love you dearly. But why do you exist? Oh, yeah. Well, I love you really. It's something I missed.
Whoa.
Heavy rock.
That is something I would have never guessed we would ever play on our show.
The Rock of Central New York.
That is a band that apparently has to mention Frank Zappa in every one of their songs, or at least two of them.
It's a legal obligation.
It's required. It's contractual, factual, conceptual.
That was Deep Purple.
With probably my favorite guitarist in the world, a guy by the name of Steve Morse, who I've been dying to play his stuff on the show, but every time I email him, I'm ignored. But I'm going to keep doing it until they answer.
Ah,
yes,
you got him
no
on the show even without his permission.
What do you mean?
We just played him.
Yeah, I know, but we have their permission because they uploaded it to PodSafe.
Yeah, but not direct, explicit permission.
No, it's not like I asked them in person. I have met the man.
Tiny little man.
He's a little guy. You were there.
Yeah, I know.
The first time I met him, you were there.
I almost stepped on him.
It would be very easy to do. He's like a Shar Pei.
He's got a black tongue.
A
what?
Hairy dog.
Oh, yeah, that was Deep Purple, and the name of the song was MTV.
Yep.
They're still kicking. They're still alive.
With the world's best guitarist, or best all-around guitarist, anyway. So
pound
I don't want
for
to,
pound.
I don't want to, ounce for ounce, actually, if you're talking about him. I don't want to talk about this film for too long, because we're in our 46th minute or so.
All right,
but
end it.
I saw a film at Munson called, the film was called The Band's Visit, and it was about this Egyptian band that was invited to Israel to play at some Arab cultural center. And the band was called the Alexandria Police Ceremonial Orchestra. And they all wore, like, imagine powder blue uniforms with, like, military suits with epaulets and, you know, the military cuffs and lots of, you know, banding
sashes
and sashes and any sort of like military thing you could have put on their uniforms they had, but yet they were powder blue. So when their plane lands, they're walking around the airport, you know, looking for help and they can't get it. Anyway, again, very briefly, they're playing in this town and they mispronounce the name of the town to the people in the airport. So they go on a bus and they get taken to the wrong town, which is in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it would be kind of like being in Floyd, New York or something. You know, there's just nothing going on there. And it's not where they're supposed to be because they missed by a few letters. But the meat of the film is about their evening in that town, getting to know the people. And, you know, the band is taken in by the locals in their houses and lots of hospitality is given to them. And again,
Mr. Furley showed up.
Yeah, actually.
Sounds like one of those plot lines in Three's Company. There's always a mix up. And then the hilarity
ensued.
Well,
there was a mix up and a lot of hilarity ensued. And there were so many wonderful moments of humor in this film, despite the fact that, you know, the band was supposed to be from Egypt and they were in Israel. So they were speaking Hebrew and they were speaking Arabic. They spoke English every once in a while, too, when they wanted to speak to each other. But there were so many moments in this film that were funny, not because you're Jewish and I'm Arabic or I'm Polish and you're Italian. They were funny because we're human beings and we've all shared experiences like this. And they're just funny. And we have that thing in common as human beings that, you know, this thing has happened to you no matter what country you're in. And when you see it happening to other people on film, it's funny, you know. But anyway, I mean, this is a bit of a sleeper. It's very quaint and it's very funny. And again, the film was called The Band's Visit.
Starring Jack Tripper.
Directed by Aaron Colirin. It's an Israeli film, 2007, rated PG-13. And it's 87 minutes long, and even the English is subtitled because some of their English was a bit questionable. So I didn't have any problem with it because I have a pretty good ear for that kind of thing. But, you know, they subtitled the English anyway. But this is a sleeper. You should put it on your queue. I think you would get a really big charge out of it.
Cool, I will.
Anyway, I think that's a show. It is now.
Quoth the klaxon. I'm going to get rid of that robin. I've decided.
Yeah, John's got a robin that wants in.
It keeps tapping on my window, rapping, tapping at my chamber door.
That's right. Anyway, this is Rich Wilgus.
John Tallarico.
And you've been listening to Bloodthirsty Vegetarians.
Hey, I'm Giuseppe Franco, and you should check out our blog.
Your hair looks it anyway.
www.bloodyveg.com.
Check out the forum, which may or may not survive, www.bloodyveg.com/forum.
Send us all sorts of feedback.
Yeah, send us something.
Love, hate letters, whatever.
And participate in the forum or something. Feedback@bloodyveg.com. And remember, our fate is in your hands. You're listening to the VIB.